Welcome again to our week, and Marilyn's going to be tested now. We're going to cover all sorts of subjects, but the nub of many things, which has been highlighted in America, because they've got the same problem as we have, the rape problem. To give you some stats on this, I mean, less than 3%, and I'm talking about the Met, will bring it over the pond, actually go to any form of trial. 3%.
It's
so
shocking.
What's happened to the other nine? Well, I'll ask you that directly. What's happened to the other 97% in your experience?
What's happened is they don't want to come forward because of the way they're treated. I know of only 3 years, just before COVID, a case in Norfolk where a woman had been raped and she was taken to a SARC centre, you know, sexual abuse referral centre, for swabs, and they would not take account of what she was saying unless she actually used the word rape.
Bizarre.
I know, but that's what some of them are like. And I think it's dreadful. I mean, you can't. I mean, you're so traumatized, you can't actually say the word of what's happened to you, you know? And I think it is this disbelief. And this is why I always say to people, and I always say to teenagers, you know, the evidence is the forensics. And do go forward, do go to the police as soon as possible, do get yourself swabbed, don't have that shower, because you're destroying that evidence. And once that's gone and only lives alive for the maximum of 36 to 48 hours, and if you've been orally raped, there is a mouthwash you can get as well that will prove that that the semen was there. But people don't know all this stuff, you know? And I think people are just worried about, will it be a male officer? Will I not be believed? Do I want to go through the court? I mean, that people are just treated absolutely abominably. And I, as I explained to you before, we just came on air now, I'm dealing with a case at the moment where only last week, a 50-year-old lady had actually had the guts to come forward and talk about her childhood abuse. And the evidence of her well-being and her mental health was pulled from her statement. I mean, it's her statement. Who pulled it? And the jury said not guilty. The barrister, she was in tears when she phoned me yesterday, and she said, I wish I'd never said anything. And the, you know, in a court, at a trial, where a barrister said, you are a fantasist and a liar, I thought that died a decade ago, that sort of treatment. And it was dreadful. And when she started to say, well, in my statement, I said, bum, 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 bum. The judge told her to be quiet. We are talking of 2023, March the 8th. And I am, because I can't bear injustice. And it's the same with rape. And I mean, child abuse is rape, isn't it? Having, you know, you don't even know you're having sex. You don't know what it is, but it's rape if you've been penetrated. It's terribly difficult to prove. That's why the quicker you can get the stuff to the police, but then it is a lottery. It's a lottery of, are you going to meet some misogynist? I know full well, I know absolutely that black girls are treated differently. Black girls are judged that they are more forward, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
More, what they are definitely treated differently, because when we had our conference with Lee Day last year, we had the Race Equality Commission, we had the CEO speaking, and they said that, yeah, the black girls, black boys as well, are treated as though they're more worldly, they're more wild, and they're not given the same sort of credence, if you like. And I mean, how we have now two or three black girls now that have been assaulted in schools, haven't they? But by teachers or by the police, looking at them, putting them on the ground, and they've got a period or something, and internally it's, it is just disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. But the thing is like, the, yeah, I mean, it's the fear of how you're going to be treated, and the shame you, and when you've got people like Andrew Tate, oh, that lump of flesh, who actually on his program that I watched the other night, where he actually says women who are raped, I mean, how somebody hasn't actually taken something to him, I don't know. Women who are raped, he says, put themselves in that position. Well, that is something that men used to say in the 60s. And this man is 30. And so why have we got so much violence against women and girls? Because the men think they've got an open door and they can just do what they damn well like now.
It's very difficult. There are, and it's really the minority here, ladies that will take advantage of the situation.
Oh.
And they get a clever lawyer saying, yeah, it could have happened or it couldn't. Let's go for this one. And they make a fortune. And of course, that doesn't help in justice at all, because it's assumed that all women are like that, and they're not. The vast majority have a genuine case. Now, I'm thinking about a lady in America called Betsy, because she's looked at the state of America exactly the same there as it is in Great Britain. And she's come over here and she's really shot her mouth off, good girl, to people that matter. In other words, the MPs.
Yeah.
And they've started to listen. And she's quoting the figure that I quoted initially, the 3% get anywhere, and goodness knows how many percent actually get found guilty. And the government have sat up and take notice. And they've got together 54, the government, academics, specifically to look into all this. Now, you think, well, golly, why should it just be academics? Well, to be fair, they are all experts in this kind of thing. But even so, I would be much happier if they were a mixture of men and women, but mainly women in this case, I would venture to say, although I am never in favour of quotas, they should be the best that we can get, whether they are men and women.
You also need a few lived experiences in the mix there as well, because whilst the academics are quoting what they know from their research, you know, the best researchers are people that have actually been there, that can challenge some of the doctrine that they've read and they've done their research on. You know, you can't put a price on lived experience. You don't want people who are like barking mad and become completely unstable, because that doesn't help anything. But people who have coped with what they've gone through and have come out the other side of it and can coherently make a contribution, they should be included as well.
Yeah, I mentioned two names at this stage, Cousins and Carrick, two dreadful cases. And there are many, many more that have not been brought to justice. But they highlight a number of things. One is that we have got to do something. We can no longer sit back and let it all happen. And secondly, as you've mentioned, get through to the people in control, the judges. Why have the judges got, not all of them, but many have got this attitude? And keep quiet in court. I will make my own mind up, because I'm a judge. I know better.
Exactly. Well, they're arrogant, aren't they? A lot of them are arrogant. And we have to say, as we always say, because it's true, every single sector of society has someone corrupt in it. And there will be, and there are, corrupt judges. There will be. And I go back to that amazing documentary called Judges in the Dock, where there were 12 circuit judges that were proven to be corrupt. And the guy who was the guy who did the case for my boys, in the previous quarter sessions, the police told me that there had been 9 girls that had come forward with grooming stories and abuse, all identical, didn't know each other. But this particular judge decided he was going to listen to each case separately, instead of 9 victims coming together, and he was let off.
Because Marilyn, in your experience, is it better for the ladies to have a lady judge or a man judge?
Well, I don't know, because people, I don't know. I mean, you'd like to think yes, but I don't know. I think, do you know, when I got divorced, when I was going through my divorce, I thought the same thing. I'll have a lady barrister, a lady, you know. And she was an absolute cow. And I thought, I can't cope with her. She's horrible. And it was like, oh, put up and get on with it sort of thing. She was horrible. And I do think, you know, it's like people do, if you're a woman, do you want a lady doctor or a male doctor? I don't know. I think some of them can be really unpleasant. I really do. I think they can be very unpleasant. And I've got a feeling that the defence barrister in the case I mentioned that was in court where this lady phoned me, the barrister actually was female, who actually said, you are a fantasist and a liar, was a female barrister. So I don't know. I personally would prefer to have a male. I've had bad experiences with female police officers, with female doctors. You'd think we were all lovey-dovey and nurturing, but I don't think that's true of some.
No.
I think some are quite hard-bitten.
Well, I understand that Rishi is backing this, which is good.
Yeah.
Now, the jury's out on Rishi. He's not increasing any of his numbers in popularity. I would have thought, because he's done more so far. Let's see how it gets over immigration than anybody else by a country mile.
Oh, absolutely.
And basically, he said, well, we can't wait for another lefty judge to get in the way. We're going to beggar the hindmost. We're going to go for this one. And from today's date, he said, we're not going to kick it in the long grass and have to wait for 2 years before ECHR make up their minds. We can backdate it from today, and we're going to stop this immigration. Well, let's see how it works out. Let's see what happens tomorrow when he goes to see his new mate, Macron, to see if they're as lovey-dovey as the pictures show them, patting each other's backs but, and having know,
he
a
has, he, I am not a political animal. I think they're all a bit flaky, personally. I'm not a political animal, but it has to be said, I personally did not vote for Brexit. I wanted to stay in, right? But loads of my friends who voted Brexit was because of immigration, and they wanted it stopped. Now someone is trying to stop it. Everyone's up in arms about how unkind it is and all of this. No, it's not unkind if you come in under legal processes and you are fleeing from a violent situation and you apply properly, then that's different. But a lot of these are economic migrants. A lot of them are criminals. And I've seen two programs this week where actually a guy who is a trafficker, two or three guys who disguised themselves and were traffickers, said an awful lot of the people that are paying the traffickers are based in England. Well, that's probably because they're already part of the criminal system, that they came in on a boat earlier and they are now in charge of criminal gangs. So criminals feed criminals. So you've got to do something. So now people are like, oh, we can't do it. You know, he's damned if he does and he's damned if he doesn't. I just think, who is going to pay the bill when you try and get them back? When you shouldn't be here, now you're going back. So are we paying for all the flights? Are we going to hire B&O ferry to take them all back again?
Well, it'll be cheaper than £6 million a day hiring 4-star hotels. My heart goes out to the real sufferers here.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's where the government come in and say to a small village of maybe 500 people, there's 250 immigrants going.
I know. It's
join wrong. You. And nobody wants to go out anymore. They're staying in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think that for me, the ones, they're so focused on the boat people, but I'm still thinking about the ones that come in on the lorries as well that are just getting through. As we spoke about last week, you know, I know full well near me on the M1, as I told you, the farmer there, Toddington Services, anybody's listening, you know, he often reports that he sees them getting out of back of lorries and nobody does anything about it. And those people are going to find it infinitely easier to infiltrate somewhere and get lost in our multi-cultural society, because there'll be somebody waiting the other end to pick them up and, you know.
Well, we've got to get our facts right here, because two things again. It's the lefties and the lubbies that want this to carry on to become the status quo. Now, why? Well, it's simple. You ask the average illegal, even legal immigrant, who'd you vote for? They don't vote for the Tories. This is why, of course, Tony Blair was the one that really opened the door to all this.
Yeah.
And we've got to be careful, because apparently there are 1.2 million vacancies in our country at the moment. We're desperate for workers, and they want some of these people. I don't. They want some of these people to take jobs.
Yes, but
they should be kicking the proverbial, as the Americans say, and speak to our people at home that are just sitting there doing nothing and say, get back to work or we're not paying your benefits.
Rodney, our people are lazy. They should, if there's, they don't want to be in care homes. You go to any care home, the majority of some sort of care homes, and in nursing homes, have got Filipinians in them, they've got Asian people, they've got Sri Lankans. They are so kind, they're so beautiful with the old people. Our lot are not going to do that. They're lazy. They don't want to be fruit pickers. They don't want to be plasterers and decorators. They're lazy. And while you're still paying out so much in benefits, you know, and not getting people into jobs. Well, I mean, I just think the Polish, they work so hard. They are proud of their work. They're brilliant at plastering and decorating and bricklaying and working in the hospitality industry. And I think that was a crying shame with Brexit that everybody went back, because that's where you lost a whole workforce there. And those are the people you want, not the criminals that are coming over that shouldn't on these boats, but the ones that were here, and then of course they found other jobs now. But you know, I have never had a problem with Polish people. They work so hard and they're so proud of their work. Gardeners, whatever, they don't down tools every hour for a coffee and a fag. And I think it was it's such a shame. And you should be able to pick and choose the ones you want. And yes, we do need them, but I don't think you're going to get English people at £9 an hour working in a care home.
Right, so there's a gentleman called Sir Robert Buckland. Let's be kind and call him a neutral. And he says, well, if we're letting certain amount of people in and certain amount of people out, especially the illegals, keep them out, we've got to be careful that we don't let the odd one escape. In other words, the odd genuine immigrant that is fleeing. And he gave an example. He said, we must make a special place, for example, for a lady in Iran that has to flee the country because she doesn't want to wear the hijab. Well, for goodness sake, does that make her entitled to be British and come here? I'm sorry, it's your country, madame. And the lovely Nicola, before she left practically the mortal coil, could have said, everybody's got to wear a kilt.
Yeah. Now, yes.
What's the difference? Wear your hijab, stay where you are, and try and influence the country from where. But you're not coming over here, madam. But the lefty lubbies, and I called them a centralist before, I'm changing my mind. You've got to watch it all the time. They're looking for loopholes. Sounds like a good lawyer.
I'll tell you the thing, I thought you would have thrown this into the mix at this point, if not before. I really take issue with Gary Lineker.
We're going to discuss Gary at the end. I'm going to go on to violence. There's been a very, very good conference recently about violence against women. We've just had International Women's Day. And I think it's called Hentai. Tell us about that.
Hentai, yeah, that's all to do with abuse, and it's a Japanese word, isn't it? And I can't remember what it actually means right now, but it's another word for pornography, isn't it?
Well, what's actually happening here is that They want to infiltrate, brainwash our kids. So what's the best way? Do it through cartoons. Disney does it. Why shouldn't we?
Yeah,
but they're using sexualizing things through cartoons, and it's running rife, of course, on the internet.
No, it is. It is. And Roblox have got the game of Roblox, which is mostly played by 8-9-year-olds. Within the game of Roblox is a thing called the game. And the game shows awful scenes of cutting, self-harming, suicidation. And you've got 9-year-olds watching this and 8-year-olds watching it. And so, I mean, I don't know who allows this to happen, but I am going to send to you very soon my lovely friend, Dr. Gail Dines and Dr. Mandy Sanchez, who are based in Boston, did a conference yesterday. It was really quite funny because it was on Eventbrite and it said, oh, sign up here. So me and my friends signed up thinking, oh, it'd be 6 o'clock last night. And yes, only to find that we actually had to go to Boston to the Church of Sweden because it didn't say on Eventbrite that this is not going to be Zoomed, you know, or Link. But we're there trying to get into this conference. But anyway, we are going to be, and it is the link between pornography, violence against women, misogyny. And these two women, oh my golly, I mean, they are 30 years they've been in this field of looking at pornography. And she mentions, and she's written an article about hentai and in the Japanese word for pornography. But I mean, you've got pornographic videos running through, there's about 1700 of them running through Fortnite, which is a game the kids like, and Minecraft, and you could just, and even Peppa Pig.
No.
I mean, and you know, the Pornhub, there's an app called Discord, a game called Discord, which is absolutely horrendous. And the Pornhub uses their server to actually literally like wing out thousands of free porn videos. It's dreadful, absolutely dreadful. But I mean, you can't, I mean, the document that she's written on it is just shocking. And I think we have to shock. And I mean, Gail Dines is brilliant. She doesn't take any prisoners. She's like me. She's absolutely not a wokey lefty. She just says it like it is. And she's brilliant. And it will be shocking. I can't wait to see the actual recording of the conference. But that is what it's all about. And it is a growing problem. And then when you've got the, you know, say the misogynistic attitude of Andrew Tate, I worry. I was sort of training some parents last night as well, and I worry about what children are going to be like even in 5 years' time. And there's now, thank goodness, one MP I so admire is a young lady called Miriam Cates.
Absolutely, Miriam is a star. We've shown lots of stuff over the last few months.
She is amazing, and she has put together this dossier that's gone straight to Rishi Sunak, and he was asked at PMQs yesterday by her, was he going to look at the terrible, outrageous sex education that's going on in schools? And she has asked, and I think Rishi's agreed with her, that they don't want the Department of Education involved because the Department of Education have included what must happen in the RSE curriculum, which is about covering all this stuff about gender, transgender, and everything else you want to talk about. Then even on the questionnaire, on one of the things, it actually says to 9-year-olds, wait for it, do they know the difference between oral and anal sex?
It's unbelievable.
9-year-olds.
I know. And,
and also, they're talking to 9-year-olds how to masturbate.
They are. I was going to bring this up because that is truly awful, because it's a fact that, you know, you talk to a 9-year-old. What does it mean? What do I have to do?
It's just shocking. And I just think, you know, my little grandson's 10 and he is such an innocent little sweetheart. I mean, I worry for him. I worry about what it's going to be like when he starts secondary school. I mean, the secondary schools in Britain at the moment are just going from bad to worse and down a rapidly slippery slope. It's dreadful what's going on in secondary schools.
Well, there are certain organisations that have really gotten there, and they've corrupted a lot of the people, which we think are out to defend our children. No, they're the worst ones. They're presenting some point. Well, they're normalizing sex to 9 year olds. And, you know, they're coming home crying with mummy and daddy. What does all this mean? It is dreadful. And the vast majority of the nation do nothing about it. But now there is a growing feeling. And well done, Rishi, again. He's supporting this. Now, Miriam Cates, of course, has got history. She doesn't believe in all this gender fluidity. There are 100 names you can call yourself. It's utter madness. And how it's got where it is in schools, where's the strength of the headmaster?
It's the Department of Education, Rodney. Yeah. It's the Department of Education. They write the curriculums. They have written this RS, you know, the sex education, religious and sex education. It is so wrong. I mean, it is completely distorting kids' minds. It's telling them things. I mean, the way I am an absolute fan of Miriam Cates. And when Rishi Sunak saw what she had put together with the evidence, with the evidence, he is horrified. And he has made an absolute promise that he is going to wade in and look at it. And she has said not with the involvement of the Department of Education because they're the problem. But I get loads of calls from parents, and you're not allowed to ask. You're not allowed to ask.
No, or receive any books.
No, you're not allowed to see any of the stuff that your children are going to be taught. You're not allowed to be. There's no parents meeting about it. It is disgusting. It's just completely distorting children's minds. I really worry for children because they've got all this stuff with social media. That's bad enough. And now they've got this as well. I mean, I mean, Miriam Cates is also a scientist. She was a science teacher. She's young. She's attractive. She's articulate. She really does her research. She makes her case very, very credible because she can, you know, she's done the research of who's doing what and who's, you know, which organizations, which charities should actually be closed down because what they're doing in schools is, you know, and the schools, to be honest, some of them are like, oh, my mom, we've got to have someone in because the RSE curriculum says we've got to do it. No, I think it's dreadful. Really, I think it's dreadful.
Yeah, let's get some men in dresses and showing their various parts in libraries and in schools. And you cannot imagine, 10 years ago, we'd have said to somebody that says, watch 10 years, 2023, what's going to happen? Rubbish, that can't happen. It has. And honestly, they're starting to normalise paedophilia by the back door. And it will happen unless we take a stand.
Exactly. Exactly. Because it will normalise. It's like this violence against women in the end. And like pornography, in the end, the kids are watching this stuff and they do think it's normal. And therefore, they are acting it out. Because that's all they're saying. And I said to the parents last night, you cannot have your children using pornography as a sex educator. Because pornography is not real. It is actually fiction. No one in your real life is going to behave like that.
There is another Act of Parliament about to be put on the statute books in the next 10 days, I understand. And I hope we've not got a two-edged sword here. The original intention is good. It's causing or allowing a child to die. Right? So that could be positive. Killing, or it could be just gross neglect.
Yes.
Now, the way it's been, in my view, set out, it looks a little bit loose to me and shaky, because you've got talk about 10 years sentencing and even 15 years sentences and even suspended sentences. Now, how are they going to describe or come to a conclusion of neglect, gross neglect, and the child dies? One can think of this horrible incident in Brighton recently where the child was found in a plastic bag.
Yes.
I mean, what do you do with that? How does the judge reach the right
conclusion? Well, I'm looking forward to seeing, because now you've got some, because that's because I get I'm on the database for the sentencing council, and I this one really caught my eye when it's anything to do with children. And so yes, you've got abuse, you've got neglect, you've got physical abuse, then there's something else and something else. Then when it's the death of a child or you've caused the death, then it's life. Anything after June, anything that's June 22, which means the people with that baby should now get life. They should. And if it's before 2022, then it's 14 years, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all very loose. It is a bit woolly, I agree, but at least it is clearly there. So it's going to be very interesting when that couple are charged with what they are being charged with. What was it? Manslaughter or neglect and something or other. But really, that baby died absolutely at the hands of those parents.
Yes.
And they should get life,
yeah,
because
yeah.
It's anything that's happened after 2022,
yes,
last year.
What's the difference between a gun, bang, and
exactly,
just leaving somebody to freeze to
exactly
death?
Exactly. Basically. It's and they were the causation of that child's death, for sure, because it was out in the cold. It was, you know, absolutely. And, you know, and only they were the only two people that had the child, so it can't be anything else, can it?
Nope. And as we know, there's history there, a lot of it.
Oh, there's a lot of history there.
Anyway, yeah. let's go on to Roald Dahl and Ian Fleming.
Oh.
This is ultra woke on steroids, of course. And, oh, you can't say that. Oh, for goodness sake. I mean,
I just despair, because Roald Dahl, my children were brought up on Roald Dahl books. I think every generation, my grandchildren are now, they love it. And he's very, very, George's Marvelous Medicine is hysterical. It's really very funny. And as my daughter said, who's the one that tells me I have no filter, she actually said, because we had a discussion about it while she was in Bermuda the other day, and she said to me, well, actually, Mum, if a word is in the book and you don't, can't you just substitute it with another word? I said, well, I am amazed that anyone has the right to rewrite someone's published work. So does this mean we can rewrite Dickens? Should we be rewriting anything that Shakespeare might have said? You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous that you have to go through. And I just think, well, the world has gone absolutely bonkers. It really is. It's like we now have to, you know, you can't have pubs called the Black Boy anymore or anything like that. So does that mean then we can't have the White Swan either?
Probably. I mean, of course, this very afternoon we're invited for the umpteenth time to make reparations for the Jamaicans because we were naughty enough to go in there and hundreds of years ago. And we brought some slaves in there. We want payment back now. Well, the answer to that, of course, is that we've got no money as a country, UK. But with a bit of luck, we might get some money off the Romans and everybody else that invaded Britain in the early years. And when we get that money, then we can pass it over to Jamaica. What a good idea.
But again, we all know it was wrong. We all know it was wrong. And that's, I mean, to get rid of anything that goes back to that and to keep every generation understanding that slavery was wrong and no one really knew any better. It's the way the world was then. That's like saying, should we therefore never, ever talk about the Holocaust and ignore that happened? Because if we do that, we'll just have wars upon wars upon wars. That is called history. History is based on, you know, history does repeat itself sometimes, doesn't it? But not necessarily in the same way. But you still have to learn about how things were back then to see how we have actually progressed and evolved. And I just think it's ridiculous trying to make everything look so covered in sort of like marshmallow that there was never anything wrong in the world before. It's ridiculous. It's part of history. It's part of the way different countries have grown up and you know, evolved and everything. I just think it's the way you learn that, oh, my goodness, I can't believe that we behaved in that way, but we did. And thank goodness we've learned from it. But I don't think there's any harm in referencing it in history lessons in school. So you can see we can never and must never behave like that again.
Well, that brings us on to your friend, because it's the last item on the agenda of Gary Lineker, because it's all bound up, of course, in this. And Mr. Woke has gone over the top. And there's, again, a subtext in this, because if he'd worked for ITV and come out with that statement that he's just made, he's not the only one. I mean, there are lefty footballers involved.
It's not the first time he's done it.
There's another Gary involved that used to play left fullback for Manchester United. He's got into politics. Perhaps it's the name Gary. Anyway, for whatever reason. But let's concentrate on the subtext. Why hasn't he got the Spanish archer, the elbow from the Beeb? Well, it's very simple. Most of the Beeb at the elite level are wokists. They agree with him 100%. That's why he's not got the... Now, whether he ultimately gets that, it depends how much outrage by ordinary Joe public puts into this to get rid of him. But I'm sorry, if you're a football commentator, no longer a football, and you're getting 1.3 million a year, and about four times as much as that on the paybacks after the football commentary. And he's on for an hour a week, you know, so he's worth his money.
See, if I was hit, if I was anyone that sponsored him, if I was one of his sponsors, I'd pull my sponsorship. And he really, if I'd been BBC, I would have called his bluff, because he was saying, I do not fear suspension from the BBC. Well, if I was a BBC, I'd say fair play then. I'll go and do it. You're suspended. You know, because you can't, it should be, the BBC is supposed to be completely, neutral, isn't it? You know, they're not supposed to.
Well, it is, but I'll tell you an occurrence late last night. We don't watch BBC very seldom, because we're not what we're up to. My goodness me, I've never seen anything like it. I turned on about midnight, which is about 11 o'clock UK time. And we were met with promos. Now, there are a lot of promos when you've got no advertising. So between programs, they describe, in this case, there were 10 different promos for programs. Some were historical, some were scientific. Some were new series. I was utterly disgusted. The BBC, and I will use the four-letter word, and I'll use it now and say evil. Now, that's a strong word, and I've never thought I'd use it against the BBC, but it is. It's twisting everything. If you watched all of those promos, example, there were far more women and men doing strong men's jobs. There were more black BAME than there were whites. The women and a black male, a black female in bed, doing all sorts of things. Two men, homosexuals, obviously, in bed. It's all unfamily. It's all fringe. And it was promoting these programs around the BBC. That is not real life. We have now got in the UK nearly 20% ethnic minorities. Now, that's been a big jump. Can I say the main reason for that is letting students in, and then they stay.
And then they stay,
And it's not just the boat people. That's a tip of the iceberg.
No.
But it's convenient for our politicians to do that. We are not living in real times. Can I also mention at this stage, there's a new movement in America. They've seen things like this, and they, because they've got their channels like NBC in America, that's just as bad, and other channels. And they are preaching lies. It's not reality. But if it's preached often enough, it will normalize, and people will just, everybody does it. They accept it. Now, what they've done is to say, in America, we're sick of what is happening, like we are, in our schools and the lies, sex education that's going ahead. We want schools based on Judeo-Christian principles with morals. We also want you to learn Latin. I used to be like that. Latin.
Amoa Massa Mats.
But I tell you now, because I've learned a Latin-based language. It is so useful. You've got to also go through Shakespeare and see what that holds for you. Oh, why say that? Because it involves discipline. It's hard work, like you used to be maths teacher. You can't just sit there and let it all happen. You've got to be disciplined. You've got to learn the tricks of the trade of mathematics, because they're in abundance. And if you know it and understand it, then you will succeed.
But you've got to have self-discipline as well. I was in a school for excluded children the other day, and they wanted me to talk about respect, you see. So I thought, well, I know what I'll do. I will I'll take a couple of photos of my children. One when my daughter was a director for Sheikh Mohammed, and my daughter, I was so proud of her. She was responsible for masterminding Dubai winning Expo 2020. She was in charge of that. She masterminded all the different events where you showcase the country. She went back on Sheikh Mohammed's private jet when she did all that. Not bad for a girl from an ordinary secondary school, from divorce and all the rest of it. And I have another one of my boys, Michael. He was standing, there's a lovely photograph of him taken last month, standing outside the doors of number 10, which is very high up at McDonald's. And he knows the guy who runs the, has the $24 billion, the CEO in America, was coming over to invest money over here in Britain. And he was called in by government to, can we like meet to make sure that McDonald's, you know, the guy, so in it. And I had that in my bag, right? And I said to these guys, I said, okay, look, I'll tell you what, because I said, I know you've been excluded because of your behaviours. That's what it's all about. And I know those behaviours have come from your experiences that you've had in your homes. And it's very, very sad. And I really feel for you. But the thing I'm going to ask you to do is not to give the situation any respect, and not to give respect to the people that have caused you the harm. Not to disrespect, i.e. beat them up, but just try and move past it, right? So I said, all right, I said, so what do you think my life's like? What do you think my life has been like? What do you think my life is like? So they all agreed that they thought my life had always been very good and very okay. I said, okay, fine. Now, the guy who was in charge, he wanted me to tell them about my life, right? So I said, okay, well, that's really nice that you think that. So I went right back to how I was treated by my mother, and they went, oh, my God. And I said, and then my husband. And then how my children, you know, sexually abused and all that. And I said, and I stand here today because I don't give those situations respect. I've used them to help other people. And they went, oh, and they're asking all sorts of questions, you know. And I said, you have had a terrible upbringing, but you don't have to make it your best friend. You can change. And these girls, a couple of girls were saying, no, you can't. I said, no. What you're saying to me is that you won't change. We can all change if you want to. So I talked about my daughter, what she was like at the same age, 13, 14. And I said, and yet, look, here's a picture of her taking the hand of Sheikh Mohammed, one of the richest men in the world. And I said, and she is now a millionaire. And I said, and she was just like you, really naughty girl at 13, 14, really difficult to manage. But I said, suddenly she saw the light and turned her world around. You can do the same. And that's what I'm saying to you. You're all bright. You're all well-presented kids. You've just had rubbish parents. And you can change. You just have to make your mind up that you want to. That, you know, you've got to think, where do I want to be 5 years from now? Where do I want to be 2 years from now? Because I said, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And that's the reality of life. And they were like, just sat there, gobsmacked. And afterwards, I got an email the next day, and the guy said to me, my goodness me, he said, did they listen? They really took it on board.
Well, we live in a sanitized society that is risk averse. We prepare everything for a soft life for our children. You don't learn much that way. If
no,
anything.
You don't
learn when you pull your bootstraps up.
Exactly.
And you pass through a very difficult situation. You've got a choice.
Exactly. You have
either
a choice.
Give in to it and everybody feels sorry for me. No, they don't.
No, they don't. We have free will. We have the free will. This is what I said animals don't have. Animals don't get to choose. You know, we have free will to choose. I can go this, I can sink, or I can swim. And I said, it's your choice. And no matter how bad your past is, there are people that have had far worse lives than you guys, far worse. And they've ended up being enormously. I said that there's a really good film, Pursuit of Happiness. I don't know if you've ever seen it. And I think every child should watch it. It's a true story. And Will Smith is in it. And it's a true story about this black guy who's just down and out. And he ends up running this massive organization in America. It's a true story. And it's about he never gave up, never, ever gave up. And that's the tenacity. That's what you need, isn't it? The tenacity that I can do this and I am not going to be beaten.
Well, and there we are.
When I sit here now going, oh, it's always somebody else's fault. No, it's not. And even if it is, you can still change it. Then that's what we're losing in society. That's the problem.
Yes, it's down to that other four-letter word, woke again.
Yeah, it is.
We've got to go. And, here ends the sermon.
Yeah, well, we've got snow here. It's really horrible.
Oh, I'm so sad about that. Well, I mean, it's cooled off here. It's only about 22 at the moment.
It's horrible here. It really is horrible.
Well, there you are. You've got a choice, madam. Pull your bootstraps up and get to somewhere warmer.
And I am now going to help bath my little grandchildren.
That's all right. It's a good reason. We'll see you next week.
See you next week. You take care. Bye-bye now. Bye.